Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear from our veterans organizations and Minnesota legislators from across the state talking about our Veterans Week of Advocacy at the Capitol. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Purple is a color that symbolizes all branches of our military. Nationwide, more than 2 million children have a parent serving in the armed forces. As a tribute to the children of our brave men and women who serve, people across the nation wear purple every year on Purple Up Day. In Minnesota, 22,000 men and women are currently serving in the military. Our military-connected children bravely face the uncertainty of their parents' safety when we are away, as well as the challenge of reintegration when they return. It's important for these military-connected youth to know their nation and community stands by to support them. This April, please join us in Purple Up to support our military kids. For more information on Purple Up Day and other military-connected youth events, please visit the Minnesota National Guard Youth Programs page on Facebook.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The 2021 Veterans Day on the Hill was canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. In order to keep Minnesotans informed about pending veteran legislative issues, Minnesota Military Radio is dedicating this week's show to address some of the items important to veterans in the state. And joining me now so we can talk about that is Trent Dilks, who is the legislative director for the DAV of Minnesota. He's an Army veteran and develops policy priorities for the 18,000-person Veterans Service Organization and assists the Commander's Task Force in achieving mutual legislative priorities. And Trent, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me back on.
Trent, this is something we point to every year in the spring is Veterans Day on the Hill, and usually we bring veterans in from all over Minnesota so they can have an opportunity to get together, look at the veterans' priorities from the Commander's Task Force, and visit with their elected officials, but second year in a row, due to the pandemic, we can't do that.
Yeah, we've had to cancel it again, but, you know, this year we're really making the best of it. I think what we're developing here is going to make it even better in the future, so I'm excited about that. It's sad that we can't get everybody together. Greater Minnesota would show up in force. They'd load up buses at 3 in the morning and come down from the Iron Range, and I'm disappointed in that, but I'm excited for what we have developing here.
Well, we're looking forward next year. We might be able to do that, and we'll get as many in as we can. But, Trent, we're referring to this now as Veterans Week of Advocacy. Can you tell us how's this going to be different? How's it going to work? How are we going to involve our veterans around Minnesota?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's important that we're expanding. We had Veterans Day on the Hill, and I think, well, maybe one day is not enough for this. So we're going to expand into the Veterans Week of Advocacy. And I'm hoping in the future that Veterans Day on the Hill will become a event during the Veterans Week of Advocacy, and we can keep expanding this and make sure that we can turn a spotlight on the priorities of veterans across Minnesota and get them involved.
Now, Trent, I know you usually this time of year you spend some time over at the Capitol. Are you able to do that in person, or are you doing it via virtual? How are you communicating with our elected officials?
Yeah, it's all virtual. So when I was testifying earlier on in the session, you know, you log in and you testify. It's a completely different skill set. I'm better in person. I think I'm better in person anyway. And it's hard to get across. You can't see all of the facial expressions. You can't see whether or not you're scoring your points with what you're saying. So it's different, but it is a new level of accessibility. I've been able to do things where I can go back to back and show up in committees that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise because of scheduling and transportation in between. So there is some upside to this.
We're speaking with Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Trent, can you tell us what issues are members of the DAV telling you that need to be addressed by our legislators for this session?
You know, I think the top priority, and it's not just the DAV, I'm seeing it from all of the service organizations, is the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. Really bringing a focus to getting our service-connected veterans with mental health conditions into treatment programs and not incarceration. There are so many benefits to that. Get them when they're a lower-level offender, when they're starting to show some of the real risk signs. Get them into the treatment centers and into the VA. Get them the help they need. Keep them out of prison. And the after effect of that is it's estimated to save the taxpayers a couple million dollars by getting our veterans help instead of incarcerated.
Now, Trent, I wonder if you can clear something up for me. I've heard a lot of people say that we're asking for special treatment for veterans. where the reality is we're asking them to go through treatment. We're asking them to do a lot of things that they wouldn't have to do if they just took their punishment and went to prison. We're giving them a chance to earn the right to keep their record clean.
It's absolutely. And veterans courts are not a get-out-of-jail-free card. They just aren't. The veteran has to own responsibility for their actions. That's the very first step into this, is saying, I did this. I need help. It is not a free pass. It's not some sort of special treatment. Often the hoops that they're going to have to go through treatment and support groups and mentorship are going to be more strenuous than maybe these lower level offenses if they just sat for a little time in jail. So it is very involved, but it is, I think, our obligation to our veterans. We did this as a society. We sent them off. They ended up with mental health conditions. We have a responsibility to bring them back in to the fold here, and this is another opportunity not to let them fall through the cracks.
Trent, just one follow-up there. I know that we've been trying this over in Washington County for years, and we've had some people from over there on the show, and it sounds like the veterans that go through it, the veterans that go through the treatment, they do everything they're supposed to do, have really earned the right to a restart.
Absolutely. It's life-changing. It's a restart. It's a fresh start. They have new resources. They have a new outlook. They've developed the tools they need to compensate for what's happened and the traumas that they've been through. It really is a way to get them moving again in the right direction.
Trent, for our veterans listening all over Minnesota, what are you asking the veterans to do during Veterans Week of Advocacy?
Well, I'm really hoping that they will get involved and get a little bit informed on these things. They can go to davmn.org. They can go to United Veterans Love to... They can go to the Commander's Task Force website, ctf.org, anywhere to find this information. Choose your favorite veteran service organization and start to hunt this down, and then start to contact your lawmakers. Let's contact our state-level lawmakers, state senators, state representatives, and let them know that we'd like to see a few things done this year.
And Trent, you mentioned the Commander's Task Force, and we're going to talk to the chair of the Commander's Task Force a little later in the show. But that's an opportunity for the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations to combine their membership and go over to the Capitol and talk to our elected officials about veterans issues.
Absolutely. To come together with over 140,000 members in the state of Minnesota and really push some things and let the lawmakers know we have the numbers. We're all across the state. We're in every single district out there, and we're paying attention, and we have some things we'd like to do to help veterans.
Now, Trent, one last question, and we have to go to break, but I when we had Veterans Day on the Hill, our elected officials over there seemed like they welcomed our veterans to come in and talk to them and share their views. I mean, that they are voters, and we have elected officials over at the state capitol. It seemed like it was pretty welcoming in the past.
It was, and I'm going to imagine that they would welcome a call and an opportunity to speak with their constituents during Veterans Week of Advocacy and to get a hold of them that way.
And if our listeners don't know who to call, there's a place to go and they can figure that out.
Use your favorite search engine and just put in "Who Represents Me, Minnesota." It's going to ask you to plug in your address, their phone number, email. Everything's going to come up with your state representatives, your federal representatives. It's all going to be right there for you, made simple so you can give them a call.
WhoRepresentsMe.mn, and it is worthwhile calling because the legislatures pay attention, don't they?
Yeah, they do, especially when they hear from their constituents. It's one thing at the state level for me to be bugging them all the time and showing up in their committees. It's something else for a constituent down the road to say, hey, I'm paying attention. Let's say take some action this year.
Trent, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Senator Andrew Lang and Representative Rob Eklund, and we're going to talk more about veterans issues during our Veterans Week of Advocacy. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about Veterans Advocacy Week today, and in these next two segments, we have still with us Trent Dilks, who's the legislative director for the DAV of Minnesota, and we're joined now by Senator Andrew Lang, chair of the Senate Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee. He was elected in 2016 and represents District 17. He's also a UH-60 Blackhawk pilot. And Senator Lang serves as a major in the Minnesota Army National Guard. And also Representative Rob Eklund, who is chair of the House Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee. He was elected in 2015, represents District 3A, and he is a Marine. So we've established that. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be here.
Senator Lang, I want to start with you. COVID has impacted everything in the last year, and now the legislature's in session. And how's that going? Things have to be different. You can't meet in person. Are you able to get your work done?
Well, it has been a challenge, I would admit. I think what Mr. Dilk said just a few minutes ago is very true, where there are some advantages to it. We can have some remote voting where we've never been allowed to do that in the Senate in the past. However, I do honestly like seeing face-to-face the other people that we're talking to. I think we lose some of that personal contact when we can't see and talk to the other people. I think that some of the cordial attitude that we like in the Senate and the House, I think we lose sometimes when we're on the computer. But yeah, it's I hope I see it coming to an end soon. I'd like to get back to the way of doing business as normal, the way it's intended on being. But it is nice to have this ability while we're going through this huge issue. So,
Representative Eklund, how are bills moving through the committee? Are they going the same speed? Are they slower? Are they faster? Are they getting through?
You know, that's tough to tell, Tom. But I think we're processing bills at relatively the same pace. You know, we have the hour and a half committee time, so that hasn't changed. The part that I probably least like about our committee work right now is when we get done hearing a bill, asking for the public input, because we can't. The way it is right now with it being by Zoom, it's almost impossible to do that. And you know, a lot of times the person that doesn't sign up to testify, but they'll make the effort to come to a committee hearing because they have something to say, and it could be very important, very pertinent to the bill. So I do miss asking for public input after we've had all the testimony and debate on the bill. But otherwise, it's working, and you know, I'm from a relatively rural area, so I see where Zoom has its advantages for people that don't want to, maybe can't drive 3.5-4 hours to maybe give 10 minutes of testimony. So I think it does have its advantages in those type of situations.
Now, Representative, I hope that we can get back to some kind of normal soon, but might not happen before the end of the session. Senator Lang, I think you heard that Trent and I were discussing the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. Do you have anything you can tell us about how that's being received at the legislature?
Well, it's been on the top of the topic of discussion for quite some time, actually well over a year, or actually in different formats for several years. We've passed it off the floor of the Senate, I believe, somewhere between 4 or 5 times last year during special session. It is progressing, and we passed it out of my committee, I believe, a month and a half ago. It's in judiciary right now, where it's going to probably, you know, face some of its toughest challenges as far as the bill goes. The good thing is that I think it's a bipartisan effort. You know, we oftentimes in the Senate and in the House a little bit too. You know, Bob and I sit on the opposite sides of the aisle, and that doesn't seem to be much of a speed bump to either one of us. We work pretty well together, and that is how the Veterans Committee has oftentimes been running and historically done so. So we do have a lot of pressure to again pass this off the floor of the Senate. I guess Representative Eklund might be a better guide as far as how it's progressing in the House. But yeah, it's definitely a bill that, you know, it the goal is to divert those at-risk vets towards probation and social service programs instead of the jail time that, in my opinion, sure isn't going to help those folks out. You know, I mean, these guys they serve their country, and they have probably experienced some things that most folks have not, and I think they deserve a little bit of leeway. So,
thank you, sir. Representative Eklund, can you tell us where that bill stands in the House, and is there any chance that the House and the Senate can work together and bundle that into a bill and send it to the floor, or is that going to get gathered up with all the other legislation this year?
Well, Tom, that's a great question. As most of you know, I was the chief author of that bill last legislative session, and being a non-attorney, I had real struggles going to judiciary and answering some of those questions. So I asked Representative Sandra Feist to carry it this year. She is an attorney, so she can answer the legal questions without stumbling and bumbling around, because I like to be prepared. So that bill passed. That bill is part of the Veterans Omnibus Bill that passed 13-0 out of the House Committee last just before we went on Easter recess. I can't remember the date right now, April 6th, I think maybe it was. And so I'm excited for that. It'll be heard in Ways and Means on Monday and then be sent to the House floor. So it is part of our veterans package coming out of the House right now.
Trent, did you have a question for our officials here?
Yeah. Good to see you both here and talk with you again. On the Veterans Restorative Justice, Chair Eklund, you had mentioned Ways and Means and then possibly to the floor. Is the House looking at a Military and Veterans Affairs standalone omnibus then?
No, that's a great question. That idea was bandied about somewhat, but it'll be rolled into state government finance, so it'll be part of that omnibus bill at some point. I think I'd have to check. I don't know if the individual bill itself is on the general register right now. I believe it may be, but I have not checked on that.
And if I could, Senator Lang, how about in the Senate there? Any chance of a standalone military and veterans omnibus? I've been around 7 years. We've been talking about it for 7 years, and I don't think I came up with the idea. Any chance of the Senate sending something the House ways and giving them a little direction?
So, as you can tell, Mr. Dilks is an excellent lobbyist. And I would add that I do not have an issue with that as a standalone bill. The politics that are played on the Capitol Hill sometimes, get in the way of some of these things. I think in the future you'll see a little more, as you for one and me for two and possibly Bob Eklund for three, put pressure upon some of the other committees in which our veterans bill falls into their omnibus bill. I think that's possibly something that, puts a smile on my face when I think about it. So without revealing too much about what goes on behind the scenes in the Senate, I would say that discussion has taken place. So I'm optimistic that in the future we can do that. I think we have a substantial bill every year where we can justify having our own omnibus bill. And we have issues that are unlike those in other committees. So, there's very few committees that take on headlong issues like veteran suicide or individual homelessness problems that you and I have worked with this year, as well as Representative Eklund. And there aren't other groups that do things like that. So we have a unique ability and a unique area of expertise where I think we should have our own omnibus. I'm not afraid to say that out loud.
I'll apologize for lobbyists being in my office today.
Well, and it's unfortunate politics have to get played because we all, and it's not just in the House or just in the Senate. It's both bodies of politics are being played, and I think our veterans deserve their own standalone bill. So, thank you,
Senator Lang. Can you confirm? It seems like things are a little less partisan when we're talking about veterans issues between parties and between Senate and the House. Does this area or this specific area seem to work a little easier?
Yeah, I would say we are a little immune to the politics of other committees. There's no doubt. I work with Senator Newton on almost a daily basis, to be honest with you. He's the ranking minority member in the Senate. I know I work with Representative Bob Detmer quite a bit as well as Representative Eklund, and I believe your guys' relationship is pretty good too, which I think other committees oftentimes don't have that ability or maybe that that gift. But we do. We're kind of, it's, I wouldn't call it a nonpartisan committee. There are some things that we tend to argue about, but not much too, really.
Representative Eklund, it's nice to hear that you're cooperating with each other on veterans issues, where other things might get a little more intense.
Yeah, and this year with my committee, containing the labor and industry part of it, so we'd go one day it would be pretty partisan, and then the next day when we'd hear about veterans issues, it was pretty nonpartisan. So it was a challenging time, but I'm the only DFL vet left in the caucus, and so wherever I went, whatever committee I was going to chair, that's where veterans was going to go as well. So that's why veterans and military affairs got rolled in with the labor and industry part of it.
All right, sir, we have to take a short break, but it sounds like we need to get some veterans to stand up and run for office next time around so we can get some veterans in there to take care of things. We're speaking to Senator Andrew Lang and Representative Rob Eklund on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for the DAV of Minnesota, Senator Andrew Lang, Chair of the Senate Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee, and Representative Rob Eklund, the Chair of the House Veterans and Military Affairs Finance and Policy Committee. And gentlemen, when we were off the air there, we were talking a little bit about the three new veterans homes that we were lucky enough that you passed some funding for a couple of years ago. And we see that Commissioner Herkey announced recently that he got the federal funding for it. Looks like that's going to move forward. And Senator Lang, one of those homes is close to you, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, the Montevideo home that local, well, to be honest with you, hard chargers out in Montevideo, Minnesota, have been working on that well over a decade. And included in those two homes are Preston and Bemidji. One is up by Representative Eklund, and the other is in Senator Jeremy Miller's district. And realistically, these are just three really important assets that have been, you know, we dedicated dollars to those just a couple of years ago, and then we were kind of waiting on the federal government to ante up and put their portion into the operations and the staffing and all those deals. And at the end of the day, the COVID package that came out included some money for those homes. And, you know, there was kind of a strange week there. We all had pretty big smiles on our faces, including the commissioner and myself. And, I think the best text message I had throughout that week was the get ready, paint your shovels, because this is going to happen. And made a pretty big happy smile on my face that we could replace that sign in Montevideo, Minnesota that says Future Veterans Home to this, you know, into an actual building. So that meant a lot to me, and I hope that it means a lot to the citizens of the community, because it was a lot of hard work to put together for these. So,
Representative Eklund, that presents an opportunity if a veteran needs to go into a veteran to keep them closer to their home so their families can visit. Those are pretty important homes, aren't they?
Yeah, it's an exciting time for the state of Minnesota, and especially for our veterans, and especially for those communities that are going to have the new homes. Like Senator Lang said, the work groups behind the push to get these done have done tremendous work, and I'm excited to see it happen. The groundbreaking of Bemidji is only 2 hours away from where I live, so I'll be happy to be there. And I've never been to Montevideo, Senator Lang, so I might have to try to make that trip as well.
Welcome anytime.
There we go.
And Zoom. I want to add, there are some federal dollars as we've been progressing forward, and I've been in conversation with Senator Newton about this, that could be aimed towards the Minneapolis Veterans Home and some beds there. So but we're not quite done yet. I think the work that we need to do is still out in front of us, and as long as we have the money that's available, I think we should be working that way. So stay tuned on that.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Trent, you had a question about some property tax refunds?
Yeah. So in Minnesota, as both chairs are aware, for some reason, disability compensation, which we know exists to compensate our injured and wounded veterans for kind of the sacrifice they make in service, that compensation in the only place I know of it is counted as income is in the Minnesota property tax refund. I know there's some bills I've testified on them, and I'm not sure about the traction they've gotten, but it seems like a really odd place to count disability compensation for our injured and wounded veterans as income in only that area. So if either chair could speak to that, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, I can talk to that, and of course, Trent knows that I love cutting taxes as much as possible, especially when it comes to veterans. So it is, and that it is a strange, you know, he puts a good thumb on the point there of that this is a strange thing, and I don't understand why it is that way. Oftentimes, the state of Minnesota, we don't always conform with the federal government like we should. We don't. In my belief, I think there are some things where, you know, even right now, the pension is non-tax, and that just happened a few years ago. But if you're AGR, a federal technician, all of your retirement still is. You know, there's a lot of guys that I've served with in the military that are federal techs or AGR folks that, you know, they'd love to see that tax-free. And the service is no different than those that served on active duty or a 20-year guard. You know, I'm getting real close to that 20-year letter, so it's become something that I've been paying close attention to. But, yeah, I think, you know, you touched on a good point, Trent. And part of it is, I think we in Pavey became a little bit of a sacrifice in a year where there were a lot of big topic items like the Veterans Restorative Justice Act and some of the other bills that have gone through. So maybe it's just a matter of time.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking to Senator Andrew Lang and Representative Rob Eklund on Minnesota Military Radio. And Senator Eklund, we've talked on the first segment about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I know one of the things that the Commander's Task Force is talking about is some property tax release for the post homes, the VFW homes, the American Legion homes. They've been shuttered. They've been closed by Governor Walz in the process. Haven't had the ability to make any money so they can pay their taxes. Is there any traction talking about the post homes, Representative Eklund?
You know, it's interesting, Tom, because this year we didn't hear any of the tax bills in our committee. They all went right straight to the tax committee. A lot of times, 2 years ago, we heard the bills first in my committee, and then they went to taxes. So I'm going to have to check with Chair Marquardt to find out where we're at on that. But I agree. We need to make sure we can do whatever we can to help our legions and VFWs out, because they've been struggling anyway prior to the pandemic, and this pandemic has just made it tougher for them to stay open and stay functional. So I will check in with Chair Marquardt, but I do not know the status of where they're at in Halsch right now.
Thank you, sir. Trent, I know we've got some benefits available for our veterans that are 100% disabled, and we're trying to get that amount lowered to 50%. Can you explain that?
Yeah, and really we're talking about opportunities in the outdoors, and this is one that's been around for years. There's not a solid proposal, but we're always looking for lawmakers like the chair in the House and Senate Veterans Affairs to join in with us and look at ways we can make the outdoors more accessible. And we look at other states, and we see that one way they do that is by reducing or becoming free some of the license for our disabled veterans. You look at states like Texas, where a 40% one can get their deluxe hunting strip, and Montana, Colorado, etc. So it's really something that we've been trying. And Chair Eklund, I know you got some good hunting up there by you, so I wonder if that's something we can keep working towards to find a way to get more veterans outdoors.
Absolutely. Anytime that we can do that, I'd be happy to help out both hunting and fishing. It would be a great thing to get our veterans out in the field, and I know some of the people that work with the Wounded Warrior Project and others that take veterans fishing. They said some of the biggest smiles they see are not so much when they're catching fish, but that they're just out enjoying the great outdoors. So I think it's an effort that we need to keep working on. And folks, I need to get to committee, so I appreciate the time and have a great day. All right. See you, everybody.
Senator Eklund, thanks for joining us today. And Senator Lang, we're winding down to about the last minute here. Have you got any final thoughts for our listeners about what you're doing to try to take care of our veterans here in Minnesota?
No, I would just like to say, you actually made a couple of very good points about military members running for office. And, I think that's actually a very good idea. That's something I've said again and again on a drill weekend where folks are talking to me about politics and the things that concern them and the things they care about. And I said, well, the first thing you do is you run for city council, you run for state rep, you run for school board, be involved in some of these areas where Representative Eklund and myself are prime examples of that. This is something I had never done anything as far as politics is concerned until I got involved with the Senate. So it's been a learning experience for me, and I'm glad that I've been given the opportunity to be the chair of the Veterans Committee and try to help my fellow vets out in many different ways over the last few years. And it's been a real honor, and I can't believe I'm actually talking to Tom Lyons, a guy I get to listen to on the radio every Sunday morning. So,
I just asked some questions, try to tell some stories, sir, and appreciate all your efforts over in the Capitol. And of course, I hear you're a pretty good hand at driving a helicopter as well, sir.
Well, yeah, I try. On the opposite one week in a month, or the Tuesday evenings in St. Cloud or St. Paul, we try to burn some jet fuel and get some practice in. So,
well, Senator, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Absolutely, it was a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
That was Senator Andrew Lang and Representative Rob Eklund on Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, Trent Dilks will still be with me, and we'll be joined by the chair of the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for the DAV of Minnesota, and we're going to be joined in a moment by the chair of the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs offers support and customer service 7 days a week to Minnesota's veterans and their families. LinkVet is Minnesota's one-stop shop that offers immediate answers with one-on-one assistance for all veteran-related questions and needs. You can also visit MinnesotaVeteran.org to chat with a VetLink representative or to search our large question and answer database. Call 1-888-LINKVET. Almost any veteran issue or question you have can be addressed by the professional LinkVet staff by contacting 1-888-LINKVET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been talking today about Veterans Week of Advocacy, which is something that's happening this year in place of Veterans Day on the Hill, since the COVID-19 has prohibited us from going to the Capitol and talking to our elected officials in person. And our guest for most of the show has been Trent Dilks, Legislative Director for the DAV of Minnesota. And we're joined now by Todd Kemery, who is President of the Minnesota Chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America and Chair of the Commander's Task Force. And he's also a Marine Corps veteran. Chair Kemery, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here, and I'll answer all those questions that you have for me then. Thank you.
All right, Todd, we want to start off quickly. As chair of the CTF, can you tell us what the Commander's Task Force is about and who participates?
Sure. There are nine congressionally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota, and they are comprised of the Vietnam Veterans of America, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, the Order of Purple Heart, the Marine Corps League, AMVETS, the Disabled American Veterans, also the American Legion, and Veterans of Foreign Wars. And we meet on a regular basis, on monthly, and since COVID, we've actually had special virtual meetings. And that's how we, that's who we are, and that's how we get together to have our discussions on legislative issues.
And Todd, you combine the membership of all those organizations and then go over to Capitol Hill and talk to our elected officials about your priorities each year.
That is true. So the Commander's Task Force represents a majority of the veterans that live here in Minnesota. So our voice carries a lot of weight when everybody participates. And that's been a focus of ours the past couple of years, is to get more of our memberships involved with the legislative process.
And Todd, you recently updated your website. I believe it's mnctf.org. And on there, they can click on a tab and they can see the 2021 legislative priorities. And I think your message today is to look those over and call your elected official. And Trent, how do they find their elected official?
Yeah, I always tell them, find whatever your favorite search engine is and go, who represents me, Minnesota? Who represents me, MN? You plug in your address, it's going to pull up all of the information you need to start making these phone calls and letting our elected officials know what we're trying to work for.
And Todd, are there certain priorities there that you're asking our listeners, our veterans, to study and call their elected officials about?
Sure. So on our list of priorities now, we're more than halfway through the legislative season this year, but one of the high priorities is the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. We also have personal care attendant reform. There's tax credit for the disabled and homeless veterans. We also are interested in having our legislators take care of tax exemption for the veteran service organizations that have property. And There are a couple others there that include licensing for outdoor activities, hunting, fishing. We'd like to see, instead of just the 100% category, have that lowered down to include more veterans that are 50% disabled and more. So the threshold is a little lower than what it used to be, and that gets our veterans out into doing the activities that are necessary for all sorts of reasons.
Trent, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, and it's always great to work with you, Mr. Chair, there on these issues. But I think we're really focusing in on the veterans restorative justice that we talked about earlier in the show, and also pushing for the future framework for that omnibus, try to keep our veterans issues moving forward. And I think those two, and I hope you agree, I've kind of pulled ahead as the ones we can lock down here in the last 30-plus days of the session. Do you agree with that one?
Absolutely, Trent. Those are key priorities. And, you know, like I mentioned before, we're already halfway past the legislative season on this. So we have not very much time to go ahead and get our memberships engaged. And we have been doing that, is enlisting the help from our membership. So,
Todd, we've just got about a minute left. Your message for our listeners who are veterans is to call their elected officials so they can find out who represents me, Minnesota, and to encourage them to keep their eye on the ball on veterans' legislative issues and not get sidelined by all the other activity at the Capitol.
Absolutely. So part of that, after today, just jot this down, the Minnesota Commanders Task Force website is a good resource to find out what bills and where they're at. Also, I would encourage our listeners to go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and under legislative, look for State Bill Tracker. That's a good way to see what's currently active. And then, of course, Trent had mentioned Who Represents Me, Minnesota is also a great place. But we keep in touch with our membership, follow those requests from your leadership on who to contact and how to contact them, and we want this to be a collaborative effort for all the memberships out there.
Very good, Todd. Thanks for joining us today. And Trent, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed my time here.
Thank you, sir. And Trent, thanks for joining us in the studio, such as it is, talking about Veterans Week of Advocacy.
I appreciate you letting me stick around here.
Thank you. Joining me now is Brad Dobuzinski, who's the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, sitting in today for Director Pat Kelly. Brad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me back, Tom. It's a pleasure.
Brad, it's been a busy year, COVID-19 pandemic, everything going on out there. The clinic was, or the hospital was under limited status for people to get in and out. What's your status today? A lot of people getting shots, and things seem to be loosening up a little bit.
Yeah, actually they are. You know, here at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, we're trying to return to normal operations here at the main facility and the community clinics. Right now we are offering veterans two visit options. They get virtual visits for their convenience or the traditional face-to-face with their provider as needed. We want to ensure that all the veterans' needs have been met over this pandemic period and address any needs that are new that they may have arise over the past year. So if a veteran chooses a face-to-face visit, that is great. We just want to make sure that they know that they still have to wear their mask and maintain social distancing when they're in the facility during that appointment. And we also ask them to contact the VA here, our call center at 467-1100, or their specific clinic for an appointment if they need it.
And Brad, the big topic that people are talking about is seems to be vaccine available for more and more people, and everybody's trying to figure out where they can get it. How are your vaccine clinics going, and how's that been impacted by the Save Lives Act?
Well, I'll tell you, first off, across the nation, the Minneapolis VA is number one in getting vaccines into veterans' arms. So that's a good kudo for the Minneapolis VA. The Saves Lives Act is a great thing. It includes all veterans, not only enrolled but eligible, but every single veteran that's out there, along with the spouse of the veteran, and that includes surviving spouses, and caregivers to a veteran. So a caregiver is a family member or a friend who provides care for a veteran. Additionally, any recipient of the CHAMP VA benefits. The big thing is these individuals should go to the sign up to get a COVID-19 vaccine at the VA tool. And they just go to the Minneapolis VA website, that's www.minneapolisva.gov, and then they can sign up to stay informed. In there, they can sign up their information if they're a spouse or if they're a non-enrolled veteran. And I'll tell you what, within 15 to 20 minutes, they should be in the system, and then they can call to make their appointment. And that appointment number is 612-467-1301. They can call between 7:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. weekends, or weekdays, excuse me, or they can also walk in for an appointment on Mondays through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're opening the doors to get these vaccines out and put them in the arms of veterans.
Brad, just a few seconds left, but you've got some walk-in clinics coming up around the state.
Yes, matter of fact, we do. We've got actually this coming Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., we've got a Johnson & Johnson clinic right here at the Minneapolis VA. Additionally, the Albert Lee... the Twin Ports and Mankato have VA clinic vaccinations as well. So veterans can call up and get an appointment for those vaccines as well.
So stay tuned in. Go to minneapolis.va.gov, and you can find out where you can get a vaccine very soon. Brad, thanks for filling in today for the director, and please greet him for us.
I will do that. Thank you very much for having me.
That was Brad Dobrzynski, the Public Affairs Officer from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Trent Dilks from DAV of Minnesota, Representative Rob Eklund, Senator Andrew Lang, Todd Kemmery, CTF Chair and Minnesota PVA President, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Brad Dobrzynski, the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and finally, our Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update from our Red Bulls currently deployed to Africa, and as we approach the 20th anniversary of 9/11, we'll hear about the efforts to honor these veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.